You are listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info.
Welcome to episode 128 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 28th of May, 2011. Today's hosts are Brad and Jason, with special guest Matt Ryan from MattRyan.tv. How's everyone doing?
Hey, how are you, Jason?
Good, mate, good. What you been up to?
Oh, not much, mate. Yourself? Pretty quiet.
Oh, yeah, I've been working on my bluebilby.com.
I see that.
I haven't done anything with for ages. I decided to dedicate it to Ansker Mobile's Corona SDK, which is what I'm using to program my applications in Lua for iPhone and iPad and iPod Touch and possibly some Android in the future, though there's been a bit of news around lately that Android people love to download apps, but they don't want to pay any money for any of them. So people, even on the forums, people are saying, you know, I released a copy of my game on the iPhone and iPad, selling gangbusters, and I try and release the same thing on Android. Nobody downloads it because it costs 99 cents. So they make it free, put in advertising, they get some people downloading, but then you don't make much money because nobody clicks the advertising.
Oh, okay. Yeah, people probably type with money, I suppose.
So, yeah, I'm getting stuck into. I've been working on some graphics and ideas for games and stuff, so we'll see what happens in the future. It's going to be a while before I have anything like that to release.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Any new? We've got some news today as well, haven't we? About some good news topics coming up.
Yeah, I've got a few news stories to read out later, and we've got Matt Ryan.
Hey, Matt, how are you, Matt?
Oh, doing good.
Where are you calling in from?
I am in Austin, Texas, over in the States.
Ah, Austin, Texas. Yeah, I had somebody over in Austin, Texas, bought himself a nice car radio with my credit card number somehow a few years ago.
Wow. I'm innocent, honest.
It wasn't you? That was bizarre because they even had my security number from the back of the card and everything. So don't know how they managed to get that, but he got himself. I managed to get the purchase refunded, but they wouldn't refund the exchange, the foreign conversion fee of $9 to convert it from American to Australian dollars and such. So I didn't get that back, but I got the money back from the car radio.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's a pretty high fee.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it's like here. Yeah. How's things going over in Austin? Hot, cold, medium?
Oh, very hot. It's starting to get to summertime up here in the northern hemisphere, and we are feeling it in Austin. I think it was almost 100 today by the looks of it.
We got winter coming on here, so we're rugging up.
Yep, I love winter. Love the cold. So, Matt Ryan, what do you do on the internet, mate?
Well, I like to just kind of think of myself as a content creator, whether it be written word or video or audio. I really like creating content for people to enjoy, so that's what I do.
Good stuff. Yeah, you've done doing some work for Lockenome. How did you get into that?
Back in, I think, 07, I saw Lockenome. Somebody introduced me to it, said, hey, Chris Perillo's behind it. He's a really cool guy. And I was like, okay, well, let's take a look at it. And I saw that it was a community of bloggers that wasn't too large, so it wasn't everyone that applies automatically gets a blog and it becomes another blog spot. I saw that there was actually some quality control, and I went, you know what, let me start a blog there. And I applied, sent in an article, and they said, you know what, this is good, we'll go ahead and give you a blog. So I've been there for a while.
Wow.
And more recently, I've been doing kind of daily things. I've been increasing the content output. And at that point, Chris said, basically just contacted me and said, hey, you want to do more stuff with us? And I said, sure. And I've been kind of doing a lot of behind the scenes things since then.
Yeah, good stuff. So you also see money videos. You actually gave away an Apple TV.
Oh, yes. That was actually kind of a thank you to the Locker Gnome community, because they're actually really, really nice. And a lot larger than it seems. There's a lot of people there that are not only willing to share their knowledge with you as a writer and say, you know what, this article's good, but here's how it can be better. And very helpful group of people. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a way I can say thank you. And I was walking down the aisle of fries one day, and I saw the Apple TVs there, and I thought, you know what? Think that's it. So I picked one up and we gave one away.
Cool. Good stuff. And the lucky person's happy now that they've got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A guy over in California that I never would have met if it hadn't been for Locker Gnome basically put in for it and got it, and he was very happy with it.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with my Apple TV.
Yeah, they're a great device. I'm happy with the Boxy Box, but that's a different story. But
it's your taste.
that's my taste. Yeah. So, Jay, have you got any questions for Matt?
Yeah. So, what are you mostly just have tech stories that you blog about, or do you have how-to stories, unboxings? What kind of things do you talk about on your site? And you have a live broadcast as well on your Matt Ryan TV?
Oh, with Matt Ryan TV, I've been actually kind of trying out live broadcast here and there. Right now, I'm kind of trying to expand my my YouTube channel, Frugal Geek, and throw some more content on there. How-tos, product reviews, basically showing people how to do things like, if you have a 4-port router, how do you turn it into a 10-port router, and things like that, and just kind of showing people a way that is not the most costly way to get something done. And kind of help them from there. As far as content, I blog about so many different things. I don't know. I've got a lot of opinions. But
go to the website and have a look.
Yeah, there's the tech blog. I write gaming blog over at dailypwn.com. I haven't been doing that too much lately, so that one's kind of behind. I also do politics blogging over at another site. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Cool. Seem like a busy guy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So what else do you get up to, Matt? What sort of technology do you like to use? iPhone and that sort of stuff, iPad?
Well, I do like Apple products. I'm not going to lie. I really love my iMac. Yep. But at the core, I'm basically a gamer. So I have to say that I really like working with Windows and PCs. That's where I feel at home. So anything that has to do with gaming really is what I really get into. But I do love like the iPod Touch. My iPad has replaced my laptop. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty broad.
For sure. Yeah,
what do you find the most useful iPad or iPhone applications that you use?
Well, I do like Flipboard, but there's one that I use as kind of a personal assistant called PageOnce. And it allows me to plug in all my social network accounts, my banking accounts, everything. I have a lot of trust for these people to be able to do that.
Wow.
But I basically plug in anything that requires me to keep up with online, and it'll send me reminders like, hey, you have an electric bill due in 3 days, or hey, your balance is only at this level. You should be aware of that. You know, and it kind of reminds me, hey, you need to check your credit card bill. It's due soon. You know, having that little extra help really, really comes in handy, especially when you have so many different bills you have to keep up with.
Warning, you're running out of money. Go make some more.
Yes.
Write some articles or something quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So,
have you been on other podcasts like this?
Like this? Actually, not too many. I've been on a couple of Perillo videos, but really not too many like this. I really like this podcast, actually.
We're pretty laid back over here down under.
Yeah, we are. We don't take things serious on podcasts, not some like some other people do.
Just have fun.
It is. It's all about fun and chatting.
Yeah.
And I actually do some work with a media production company down in Australia called Treat, and I do Machinima. For them, okay. Or with them, actually. I produce a couple of my own shows there. But very, very awesome company. And the people I've met through there from Australia are always so laid back and so so polite, incredibly polite compared to compared to some of my American neighbors here.
Mm. So, what's the machinima about?
I'm sorry.
What's the machinima about?
Oh, well, one of them was actually a gaming show, and it was filmed in Second Life, which it sounds a little strange considering how the weird reputation that Second Life has, but if you use it as a 3D modeling environment, you can actually create a really interesting television studio, a virtual host. You know, you can create almost an entire cartoon series just with a few blocks and shapes in Second Life, and they can come off looking pretty impressive. So I did a show there. Right now I produce one called The Grid's Honest Truth, which is kind of a mock news program put together by somebody that makes light of the owners of Second Life over at Linden Labs quite often, and it's a fun show. It's where you get to poke fun at the landlord, so to speak, of a virtual world.
Yep. I used to hang out on Second Life quite a lot. I was a DJ in a club there called Demonic. Used to play a lot of industrial and gothy type music for the people there. It was great fun.
I loved Second Life DJing. I did that for quite a while. It was a lot of fun.
It's great fun, yeah. Meeting a lot of interesting people, and everyone loves the DJ.
So did you use Shoutcast, or what was your program of choice?
Sam Broadcaster.
Me too. I love that program. It dips the music when you turn the mic on. It does the crossfading, everything. I love that program.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I even trying to set up a site so that people could look up what songs that I had on the computer and then queue in requests. Because you can integrate Sam Broadcaster with a site and it just lists everything you've got there. People can do a search and then they can click on add this song to the queue, and then you can okay it, and it comes into the queue next, or you can move it up the queue and that sort of thing. Couldn't quite get it to work properly because there's a lot of port forwarding and stuff to get the connection from the website to come into Sam Broadcasting and then queue it up and that sort of thing. But it was fun mucking around with it anyway.
And what won me over with that program was when you install it, it asks you what kind of database do you want to link it to? And it gives you a lot of options. I mean, MySQL, you know, and a bunch of others that are just, it's like, wow, you know, you can really customize the web experience if you know what you're doing in there. So, yeah, that's a really good program. I wish it wasn't so expensive, yeah, but it is a really nice program to use.
What kind of music were you playing?
Well, mostly rock, some techno, a lot of tracks from, you know, let's see, DJ Tiesto, artists like that. It just kind of depended on where I was virtually positioned. I mean, if I was at an Irish pub, for example, the music would be very different. There'd be a lot of Flogging Molly, you know, Dropkick Murphys, bands like that. Yep. But if I was at a country western club or whatever, wherever I was DJing, I'd have to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Okay. So that sounds good, Matt. Have you had much to do with Chris Sorelli? I've seen him in one of your videos before, and do you chat to him much?
Actually, quite often. Him and I consider him a really good friend that I've never had the opportunity to meet in person.
Okay.
But he's one of the most helpful people, I think, I've ever had the pleasure of working with on the web. I think at first I contacted him and I said, hey, you know, I want to give something away, but I want it to actually be a worthwhile experience for the people that are taking part in it. Mm-hmm. At the time, I thought maybe 5 or 6 people would apply to, you know, take part in the Apple TV giveaway. And because, you know, my reach wasn't really out there. I wasn't getting a lot of traffic. Granted, I was on Lockernome, so by default, I was getting traffic. But a lot of it was just general. I hadn't really built my own core audience yet.
Yep.
And Chris said, you know what? I tell you what, you facilitate the giveaway and I'll help make it happen for you. All right. I said, cool. And at that point, we arranged to have the video shot, and it was shot, and it went up, and almost immediately we had about 300 or 400 people actually almost immediately follow the account that had 5 followers before.
Wow. Oh,
nice. And within the next few days, it reached up to about 700, 800, 900. And by the time we actually gave it away, we had 1,100 people that had signed up, which that was leaps and bounds beyond what I would have been able to do myself. So I definitely have to give credit to Chris for kind of helping me make a name for myself in that community as the Frugal Geek. And now the Twitter account, twitter.com/frugalgeek, has well over 1,100 followers, and each and every one of them I love communicating with.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Definitely. No, that's good. Yeah, good on you. Good on you, Chris. You've done a good job, mate. And he's actually been on this show before as well. So, yeah, we've chatted with him. He's a cool guy.
And absolutely down-to-earth guy, too.
And funny.
No matter who you are, if you email him, he'll respond.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely he will respond. And he's a funny guy, and the dogs are good, too.
Yeah.
All right, so Jason, we've got some tech news, mate. What's been happening in the news, mate?
All right, here's the tech webcast news for today. Google has unveiled a mobile wallet platform and field tests in New York and San Francisco that will let people with special phones pay for goods in retail shops by tapping the phones against a payment terminal. The Google wallet initially supports MasterCard credit cards from Citi, and users can pay for goods at 120,000 U.S. shops, including Macy's, Walgreens, Subway, Noah's Bagels, American Eagle, Bloomingdale's, Pete's Coffee, Toys R Us, and others. Sprint is a partner of the launch since it sells Google's Nexus S phone, one of the only phones in the US capable of using the new Google Wallet. The Nexus S supports NFC, an open standard backed by many companies, including Microsoft, Visa, Sony, Nokia, and AT&T. However, Android now supports NFC technology, and additional phones are expected to become available soon. We're extending an open invitation to merchants and ecosystem partners like payment networks, carriers, and banks to join us in creating tomorrow's best shopping experience, said Vice President of Commerce for Google, Stephanie Telinas. The wallet has some features that haven't been in previous attempts to offer mobile wallets. For instance, the wallet can include multiple cards. In addition to the Citi card, Google is including a prepaid Google payment card that users can fill up from any credit card. In addition, the wallet can include loyalty cards. When users pay for an item at point of sale, with one tap, they can transfer multiple cards, including their credit card and the loyalty card. The idea is to continue to partner and add cards to the wallet, so hopefully I'll be putting all my cards in there, said Osama Bedia, the Vice President of Payments at Google. The executives unveiled a new service at an event in New York that was webcast. Google expects officially to release a product this summer in the U.S., Google officials also said that some 300,000 international retailers have the capability to support the mobile wallet, but they did not elaborate on plans outside of the US. In addition to the wallet, Google introduced Google Offers, which lets users collect electronic coupons and submit them at the point of sale. People can find coupons online and click on the button to send the coupons into their Google Offers account to make them available on the phone. Coupons can also be redeemed simply by showing the coupon, so they can be used at retailers that haven't yet upgraded the systems to accept NFC. Google Offers will become available to people in San Francisco, New York, and Portland this summer. Google hopes to expand the wallet to include many other items, including driver's license, hotel keys, and concert tickets. Later this year, Google also plans to add a feature that will let retailers pass receipts to users via the wallet technology. Australian retailers must explain why they charge huge markups on products that cost half as much from overseas internet companies, consumer group Choice says. And global companies with a presence in Australia prevent local customers taking advantage of cheaper prices offered on their overseas website, it says. It comes after a study yesterday found retailers were marking up products by as much as 142%, unbeknownst to shoppers, with clothing and shoes the most expensive of the lot. In its submission to the Productivity Commission's retail inquiry, Choice says the strong Australian dollar should enable local retailers to pass on savings to their customers. It has found that the same pair of Nike running shoes cost $240 at major Australian sports retailer, while consumers can buy the same products for $134 from an online store based in the US. Choice says the top 12 music albums cost 73% more if purchased from the Australian iTunes store instead of the US iTunes store. but Australia is barred from using the US iTunes. The popular video game Portal 2 for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 cost 91% more from a major Australian online retailer than from a website based in Asia. There are too many examples, from white goods to motorcycles and TVs to video games, where we pay more, Choice Campaign's director Christopher Zinn said in a statement. It's up to those in the supply chain here in Australia to justify why this is the case. Importers and retailers should not cry foul if consumers chase better prices wherever they may be. Last December, big resellers such as Harvey Norman, Borders, Target, and David Jones waged a campaign against the $1,000 GST-free threshold for retail products purchased overseas. They labelled it unfair and argued it would cost jobs. The National Retail Association, representing 3,700 small shops, followed suit. The debate urged the federal government to announce a Productivity Commission inquiry into the future of Australia's retail industry. Choice said overseas retailers offer better prices, better service, and a much larger range of products. Eliminating the GST-free threshold will do nothing to dissuade Australian customers from continuing to enjoy big savings from buying online. Choice also attacked global retailers with the presence in Australia preventing the use of Australian credit cards on their overseas sites. We are challenging global corporations to drop artificial technological barriers used to block competitive prices online, such as those affecting software and music downloads, Mr. Zinn said. There's no reason why Australians should pay more than consumers in comparable countries for digitally delivered items like software. The Productivity Commission has been asked to report on the current structure, performance and efficiency of the retail sector and broader issues contributing to increasing in online purchasing by Australian consumers. Shoppers face their weekend credit card purchases being refused after banks yesterday cancelled thousands of cards following a security breach. The breach involved the client of an Australian bank offering credit card transaction facilities. Banking sources would not identify the merchant or bank involved. However, St. George Bank emerged as the only institution that would not flatly deny it was the bank in question. The Commonwealth Bank, Westpac, National Australia Bank and St. George Bank said they had cancelled credit cards to protect customers. An ANZ spokesman said the bank was monitoring events closely but had not blocked credit cards yet. The cancellations will impact immediately as customers this weekend discover they cannot make credit card purchases and in the longer term as their periodic payments made by a credit card fail if payment details are not updated. Some banks have made an effort to contact affected customers so that they do not face the embarrassment of purchases such as regular supermarket shopping paid by credit card being refused. The CBA said it used SMS, email and letters to tell 8,000 customers of the potential breach. In its statement, the CBA said Australian merchants' account was administered by another bank, but CBA customers were among the victims. It said it had alerted MasterCard and Visa about the compromise. Other banks, such as the National Australia Bank and ANZ, have been trying to minimise the need to cancel and reissue credit cards because of the obvious inconvenience. Some banks decide to cancel all credit cards used at a merchant which has had a security breach, but this results in large numbers of customers being inconvenienced by being without a card and needing to re-establish direct debits, an NAB spokeswoman said yesterday. The bank said customers would be compensated if funds were stolen because of the fraud. And lastly, the National Broadband Network has nothing on laser beam technology, says Australia's most popular talkback host, Alan Jones. In a jumble-up worthy of the IT crowd, Jones this morning used news of a breakthrough in fibre optic speeds to trash the government's plan to build a national fibre optic network. German scientists have broken a speed record, sending data contained on 700 DVDs over a single laser beam in 1 second, he said on his morning show. 700 DVDs in 1 second. The scientists at Carus Institute of Technology said they've broken the world record by sending data at a speed of 26 terabits per second. Jones said the announcement was proof that the NBN would be outdated by the time it was built without realising the network was based on exactly the same technology. Canberra wants us to believe that the technology we're spending anything on up to $60 billion on won't be outdated by the time it's rolled out, he said. Of course they're kidding, but it's the government these days in Canberra and they're always kidding. Fibre optic cables use pulses of light or laser beam to transfer data. The record set by the researchers in Germany was for the fastest ever data transfer over a single fibre optic cable. The NBN will see fibre optic cables rolled out to 93% of Australian households. The rest will be served by a mixture of wireless and satellite internet. Gary McLaren, Chief Technology Officer for NBN Co., said the German breakthrough showed the NBN was future-proof. Tests such as this just go to show why a fibre-enabled NBN is the best infrastructure for Australia's future, he said. As fiber optic technology improves, so too will speeds and the amount of data that can be carried over the network we are building today. Well, I tell you what, I can't wait for the NBN, particularly if I'm going to get 26 terabits per second.
Yeah, same. I can't wait for that either. Nice. We're so behind Avionis, right? It's unbelievable.
I'm just happy this week to not be shaped anymore.
That's good, mate. That's good. Yeah,
26 kilobits up and down was terrible.
Yeah, even if you were shaped, you still got the stream and stuff. So it's
yeah, we could still do live streaming and stuff, but downloading was a headache. I didn't do downloading podcasts or apps or anything last week.
Whoa. Well, you also uploaded that video, didn't you, when you were shaped too, didn't you?
I started the upload 2 hours before the shaping started and got like probably about two-thirds of it done, and then the next third took another 3 or 4 hours. So wow. I just went out for the day and left it going in the background. Eventually it finished.
Gee, that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, that's good stuff, mate. Now, Matt, what else has been happening, mate? Any sort of news you want to tell us about before we go?
Anything oh, gosh.
Any sort of upcoming things or giveaways? Or
As far as giveaways, we're working on a couple things. So I would say stay tuned. Okay. I don't have anything to announce right now, cool. But we're definitely working on making it happen more often for our friends that stay tuned. So watch the Twitter my best piece of advice.
All right.
Which account should we be watching?
Yeah, how can we watch? That's nothing yet.
Oh, twitter.com/frugalgeek is the best place to stay tuned for any giveaways from us.
All right. And so if I put mattryan.tv, the link in the show notes, that's all one site that will give you information on that as well?
That is kind of a central hub for everything I do. Right. So that'll be a great place to find whatever you're looking for in relation to anything I do online.
That's good, Matt. Awesome. All right, Jason, anything else you want to add before we go, mate? Or?
No, it was just great having Matt on the show.
Yeah, great chatting to you, Matt.
Maybe we'll have a chat to him again in the future sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, thank you, and great being on. This is a lot of fun.
All good, mate. Jason, where can they find you on Twitter, mate?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/Wallock, WAULOK, and jasonoakley.me. And if you want to check out my Ansker Mobile Corona SDK plugging website, bluebilby.com for iPhone games and stuff in the future, and maybe some tutorials and code on there as well.
Cool. Does actually Blue Bilby have a Twitter account yet? Or
No. Just going to keep everything under the Wallock account for now.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's all right. You can find me on Twitter at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast, and also on Facebook, Tech Webcast. Leave us some comments on there, and we'll read them on there next week or something. Yeah. And some comments on iTunes as well would be good too. And that would be appreciated.
See you all next week.
See you next week. Yep, bring great show. Thanks, Matt, for being on, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you, and stay tuned for next week.
You are listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
This is Tech Webcast. Computers.
Technology. Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop on.